Writer John Green has built up a huge fan base, both online and for his young adult novels, so much so that The New Yorker has dubbed him the Teen Whisperer. His best-selling 2012 book, The Fault in Our Stars, about two teens battling cancer who meet and fall in love, it was made into a hit film last year. Now his novel, Paper Towns, is a movie, and it opens in theaters tomorrow. Paper Towns stars Nat Wolff as Quentin, or Q, who's surprised when his neighbor and longtime crush Margot, played by Cara Delevingne, climbs through his window late one night.
I need to borrow your car.
What?
Your car.
I don't have a car.
I mean your mom's car.
Also,
I need to drive the car because I have 9 things I need to do tonight, and more than half of them require a getaway driver.
After committing a series of pranks, Margot disappears, and Q goes on a quest to find her, helped by his best friends Ben and Radar. John Green joins us to talk about Paper Towns. And John, first of all, we want to ask you, why do you think your work has built up such a devoted following among young people?
I wish I understood better, why they like my work, because then I would have probably written another book in the last 3 years. But, I hope that they respond to it because I try to take all of my characters seriously. I try to take teenagers seriously and credit them with the intelligence and curiosity that I've seen in them and that I remember from my own adolescence.
Mm. Well, I got a chance to have a sneak peek at the film. And what I saw in it was a story of, Q, this young man who is kind of pushed out of his comfort zone in his last year in high school. And he goes on this epic adventure, to pursue what he thinks is love. But it seems like it was about more than just love. So I mean, for you, like, what is it about?
For me, the book started with my thinking about my own high school experience and the way that I looked at girls that I liked. And a lot of times I idealized them and I put them on a pedestal and romanticized them. And I sort of thought that was what you were supposed to do. I thought that was how the male gaze was supposed to work. But of course, it's really dehumanizing to see someone as more than a person. And it proves, I think, in the end, really destructive to everyone involved. You know, the great challenge of adulthood is imagining other people complexly and understanding that their grief and joy and suffering is as real as our own. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really wanted this story to be about, Q's journey toward trying to understand Margot more complexly rather than just seeing her as the person that he projects his own ideas onto.
We've actually got a clip of the film here, Paper Towns, and this is where Q is trying to find Margot. And she's left a lot of clues for him about where she might be. And at one point, Q and his friends, they find one of the clues. So let's listen to what happens.
She's in Agua.
Q, you gotta go.
Can't go to New York.
What is stopping you?
Like 1,200 miles.
You love it, right?
Yeah, I do.
There you go. Your true love waits.
You're right. I'm gonna do it.
Do it.
And he does. He heads out on this journey. But Margot, as you were saying before, is the character who, everyone at school seems to think they know her, but no one knows her at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think Margot is one of these people who everyone pays attention to and no one ever actually listens to. And one of the reasons that Cara Delevingne is so spectacular in that role in the movie is because I think she's lived that life.
Are you saying that because she's a model as well?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that she was a model when she got the part, but now I understand that she's quite a famous supermodel. And her physical image is projected onto by millions of people around the world. And I think that's one of the reasons that Cara really relates to Margot.
Well, in the book and the movie, there's also this other subplot about friendship between Q and his two best friends. And, it sort of captures something which I think just about everyone has been through, where you're reaching this big milestone in life, high school graduation. And it's both sort of you're on the threshold of the next part of your life, but you're also leaving, the world that you had known behind, and people are all going in different directions. How important was it for you to accurately capture what that moment feels like for young people?
Yeah, I think all those times in life that are kind of both beginning times and ending times, times of firsts and lasts, are really interesting to write about and really fun to write about. For me, the end of high school was a really important time in my life, and the closest friends that I had, those were the people who'd kind of helped me to understand the world around me, and I wasn't going to be with them every day anymore. And that was really hard for me to imagine and hard for me to reconcile myself to. And so I guess I kind of wanted to go back there and relive some of my favorite parts of those friendships, but also acknowledge the fact that they do change. I mean, it does change when you graduate from high school, and things are going to be different, and there are going to be some lasts involved in that leaving.
Mm. Well, we're speaking with John Green, whose book Paper Towns is now a film. And John, if we could, let's just take a step back here and talk a little bit more about the online community of your fans. They call themselves nerd fighters.
Yeah.
How active are they and how important are they to the world that your work inhabits?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that my relationship with Nerdfighteria is not just the most important thing in my professional life, but kind of the only important thing in my professional life. Yeah, I mean, it's a community that grew up around the videos that my brother and I started making back and forth to each other in 2007. And now we have lots of much larger projects, including the big 48-hour charity event every year called the Project for Awesome. And so it's really just a huge collaboration to try to decrease what we call world suck. This is a community that wants to decrease the overall level of suck in the world. And we do that lots of different ways and have lots of fun together on the way.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I feel like there must be something uniquely rewarding working with and trying to reflect the world of for people who are still genuinely optimistic. As angst-ridden as teenage life can be, I feel like underneath that, they're still really optimistic because, you know, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that optimism is honest, and I think that nihilism is inherently dishonest. You know, I think that the truth is always hopeful. So maybe that's something that I have in common with them. A lot of people sort of dismiss, particularly I think this generation of young people as being, you know, disinterested in the world and distracted by technology and living these lives of sort of mere distraction. And that's not been my experience at all. I see a generation of people who are tremendously engaged and active, who are pushing important issues around social justice, who are deeply engaged in the questions about what the meaning of life is, whether it's constructed or derived, what our responsibilities are to each other. And I just find that stuff really rewarding to think about and talk about with them because they don't approach those questions through irony and they don't approach those questions with embarrassment. They're just excited to think about that stuff. And that's how I still feel, I guess. I still feel unironically excited to think about the opportunity to think about the meaning of life, about the opportunity to think about how to solve big problems and how to reduce suffering. And yeah, they're really inspirational to me in those respects.
Mm. Well, in fact, one of your online fans, if I have this right, inspired the book that really helped your career totally take off, The Fault in Our Stars in 2012,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Esther Earle was a really important member of the Nerdfighter community. She was part of a small group of people who were deeply involved in a lot of our charity projects. And she had cancer throughout the time that I knew her and died in August of 2010 when she was 16. And I did write a lot of The Fault in Our Stars in the wake of Esther's death and in sort of that furious year of grief that came afterwards. You know, I'd been trying to write a book like it for a long time, but Esther taught me a lot. She taught me that a short life can also be a good and rich and full life. She also taught me how empathetic teenagers can be. I don't think that I'd given enough credit to how empathy works in adolescence until I became close to Esther.
Hmm. So we talked about how important the nerd fighter community is for you and your work. But isn't there also a risk that comes with being so out there and so connected to your fans? Because we saw a post on Tumblr that said, hey, maybe you're pandering to teenage girls so that you can amass some kind of cult-like following.
I mean, yeah. You know, I think there's a risk in being on the internet. I think that's the nature of internet discourse. But I feel the vast majority of my interactions online are still really productive and really positive. And as long as I feel that way, I think I'll be able to like navigate the world online. I certainly don't want to be in a situation where it feels to anyone like I'm pandering to them. But I do like making stuff for teenagers. I like writing about teenagers because they're doing so many interesting and important things for the first time. They're forming their values, and having a seat at the table in that conversation is a tremendous privilege. But I am also aware that it is a big responsibility.
Well, John Green, if I may ask you, you know, you were talking a little bit earlier about being a young man yourself, being a teenager, and the male gaze and things like that. And that made me wonder, of the three main characters, the male characters in Paper Towns, there's Q, there's Radar, and there's Ben. Which one are you most like?
Oh, man, I wish that I could say that I was like Radar, who's my favorite character, smart, engaged, empathetic, has a girlfriend,
yeah.
Doing most of the things that I wanted to do in high school. And I also wish that I could say that I was like Q, who's ultimately a good kid and an excellent student. But in fact, I was most like Ben.
Oh, no.
Pretty unbearable. I have to say that Austin Abrams, who plays Ben in the movie, did such a wonderful job. And at the end of the movie, I remember like hugging him and crying and saying, thank you for understanding that people like Ben are people. And he gave me a great gift by kind of allowing me to go back to my high school self a little bit and see him much more empathetically. But yeah, I was pretty intensely nerdy.
Well, John Green is the author of Paper Towns. The book is now a film, and it opens this week. John Green, it's been really great to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.